I'd like to take the first couple minutes and just say thank you to you all for a wonderful summer. It has gone by very fast. I can't believe quite how fast it's gone by. It seemed just like yesterday, Pastor gave me the calendar for the summer of all the activities, and I first saw it and I thought, oh my. what have I gotten myself into? I don't know what I'm doing. But the Lord has been good, and Pastor has been wonderful, a wonderful mentor, a teacher. I'd like to thank Pastor and Mrs. Dietrich for allowing me to stay in their home, for adding another child, Michael and I. Michael and I had a good time this summer, and I appreciate him also, and just for all the meals and everything, just allowing me to come into your home and invade for 8 weeks, and thank Pastor for just being a great teacher, patient and kind and loving. And the same with Pastor Fox, just allowing me to grab onto his coattails and just learn from him and have a good time with him. I really appreciate it. And lastly, I want to thank you all of you, for being good friends. I have some friends that I made this summer that will last forever. And I praise the Lord so much, and I want to thank him. And I'm really going to miss y'all when I leave tomorrow. But I'll keep in touch. So you haven't had, whether this is a good thing or not, I'll leave you to decide. But I'll keep in touch, and Lord willing, this isn't the last you'll be seeing of me. So you can decide that, whether that's good or bad for your own self. But this morning, if you would turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8, this is a message that I got. It was actually the first message I preached, and I found it again and kind of reworked it. But I found it while I was reading for college. I had a class my freshman year, a survey of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and Aaron, you'll get to do that this summer. And I had to read through them, this fall, excuse me, I had to read through them twice. And as I was reading through Deuteronomy, this is one phrase that caught my eye. And this is Moses talking here. He says in verse 11, he's talking to Israel, and he says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God." And in a few chapters, he says it more than one time. "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God." And I looked at the context, and I looked at some other different passages, and it just kind of hit me my freshman year, and something that I have to keep reminding myself of each day. And as I'm at school, a lot of people say the easiest place to fall to fall behind in your walk with the Lord is at Bible college, and I can attest to you that's very true. You're in a classroom all day. We have chapel four times a week, and you're just immersed with the things of the Bible. Your Bible becomes your textbook in a sense, and it can be very damaging to your walk with the Lord if you let it, because it's easy to. I know I've said it. I'll have chapel later on, and I'll have Bible classes, and instead of being something that I need, it's something that it's almost like something. If you get fed all the time, you're not hungry anymore, but you have to discipline yourself to always be hungry for the Word of God. So that's what I want to bring to you this morning. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your Word, and I pray as we look into it this morning, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified and lifted up, and Lord, that you would just speak through me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So Moses is talking here to Israel in Deuteronomy, the last book of the Pentateuch. And at the end of Deuteronomy, Moses passes away, and he's not allowed to enter into the promised land. And so Moses he's going through the history of Israel. In chapter 8 here, he's recalling all the things that God has done for them. We'll start reading in verse 1, down through verse 10. Moses says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee known that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart, that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of waters, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. So the first thing I want you to see is Moses' proclamation. Beware that thou forget not the Lord. Beware. Moses commands Israel to not forget the Lord despite all the things he has done for them, providing them through the wilderness, increasing their wealth. Even after all that, it was a temptation for Israel to say, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But Moses says, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Verse 11 says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Moses recalls their history. They were taken in the land of Egypt. They multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said, this is not good. They're going to overrun us and we will be their slaves. So let's make them our slaves first. They were enslaved in the land of Egypt. And Moses, he was raised as the son of Pharaoh. He went, he murdered the man and tried to make his own self known by his own might and by his own power. He fled to the wilderness for 40 years. He came back and the Lord used him to deliver Israel from the land of bondage, from the house of bondage. And then they came to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his troops were hard on their heels. And they said, what are we going to do now? Moses held up the staff, and the sea departed. The sea parted, and they crossed on dry land. I heard one person say that, one critic of the Bible say that the Red Sea was only about 2 inches deep in that part of the land. And I heard one man reply, well, that's the greater miracle then, because Pharaoh's whole army drowned in 2 inches of water. You know, God did wondrous things for his people. He has done wondrous things for us. Now, I want to make this disclaimer. We are not Israel. Israel is still his chosen people. But the same principle applies. And I want to bring that principle out this morning, that God has blessed us. He has done things in my life, I know, that are amazing. How he has brought me here, brought me to school, done everything in my life. And I am to beware lest I forget the Lord my God. So Moses commands him, and first of all, God's promise. God promised in the land of Canaan, Deuteronomy 9, verse 1 through 3 says, hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Those were the people that the ten spies said, we can't go up against them. They're great and they're tall, they're giants, and we cannot defeat them. Moses said, God is going to bring you and you're going to overtake them. People and cities greater than you. Verse 3 says, "Understand therefore this day, that the Lord thy God is He which goeth over before thee. Excuse me, as a consuming fire He shall destroy them, and He shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out, and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto thee." Way back before the Israelites had even gone into Egypt, God had promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He had promised them a land. He had promised them Abraham. He promised him a nation, a family more than the stars. God had promised him great things, and He was going to fulfill it. So God protect God's promise. He promised them the land of Canaan, God's protection. He led them through the great wilderness for 40 years. 40 years they wandered around. I don't know if the wilderness was desert or a forest. It was wilderness of some kind. God led them around. And what did He say in verse chapter 8? He said, "Thy raiment," in verse 4, "thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years." God provided through them the whole way. He protected them. He protected them from serpents and scorpions. Verse 15, "who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint." He protected them from drought, gave them water from a rock. You know, Pastor was talking just a couple weeks ago about that rock. You know, it wasn't a little dribble, but it was a gushing that would be able to water 2 million people and their herds and flocks. It was amazing. Not just a little trickle. And I used to think of that as just a little trickle that came out a little bit at a time. But no, it was a gushing forth. God provided for His people. But then His provision. He led them through drought, provided water out of a rock. He fed them manna. They didn't know where it came from. He fed them with manna. You know, how has God provided for you? How has He protected you? I remember when I was a kid, I was probably 10 or 11, and we had moved. I grew up in New York, and we spent 6 years. We moved down to Scranton, Pennsylvania, and moved from the country to kind of the city. It kind of threw me through a little kink in my life. And I remember we rented a house, and I was used to the country. You know, you could look out your windows, and it was, you know, a couple blocks at least before you had a neighbor, or the house we lived in, you could reach out the window and touch the neighbor's house. You know, we weren't used to it. But I remember my dad pastored a church down there, and I remember he met this other pastor that was in the area, and we had just moved down there, and we invited them over just to have some fellowship, you know, for dinner. I don't remember what, but they came, and they had just met my dad. Actually, my dad had met the pastor's wife at a Dunkin' Donuts, and he had mentioned something about being a pastor, and she heard about that, and ended up meeting. So this family was coming over to our house, and we hadn't even met them really. And they brought, as they got out of their car, they brought bags of groceries. The Lord had put on their heart to provide for us that way. And time and time again, the Lord has provided for my family. We have never gone without food. We have never gone without shelter. How has He protected you? He's provided. How has He protected? Daniel will remember this. The last week of my freshman year of college, I was coming home from church on a Sunday night, and I was I was paying attention, and it was kind of dusk, and this lady, I was going about 55, this lady pulled right out in front of me. Luckily, she saw me in time and was able to back up, but if she had been just a couple more feet, I would have T-boned the car and killed her. The Lord protected me and her that day. Protected us from what could have been a very bad accident. And I remember growing up, He's protected us from deer. I remember my mom hitting deer on my way to my grandparents' house. I know you all know a little bit about that, hitting deer and trying to avoid them. The Lord has protected me and my family over and over again. I know stories, friends that I have, how He's protected them. My friends, I was explaining, I believe it was Arnie, I went over to their house on Tuesday night and to visit with them, and we're talking a little bit about farming. And I have a friend in New York. When he was a little kid, his dad got caught up in a PTO, a little tractor, spun him right around. And the Lord provided. He was a small tractor, so that he stalled out. He stalled it out. And the Lord, he was fine. He was fine. He did have some cuts and things like that, but now it's as if nothing ever happened. You know, the Lord has protected and provided for us as His people. But we have forgotten the Lord. I think back, Pastor and I were talking this week a little bit about the foundation of our country. The three branches of government are found in Isaiah. And again, the representative government is found in Exodus. So we were talking a little bit about that, and I was thinking about it. How our country was founded, no matter what other people say, it was founded on Christian principles by Christian men. And I think back in how God provided for us. He allowed us to become a country. And for a while, we were a Christian nation. We still are a Christian nation. But how far we've come. God blessed us as a nation. In World War II, at the end of World War II, we were a strong enough country that we could have just about taken over any other country. We could have become the next Rome. If we had a mind to, I think, based on what I've seen in history. But the Lord blessed us with finances, with houses. He says here, let's see, where is it? In chapter 8, he talks about, thou shalt, verse 5, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of waters, of fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees, and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. That sounds a lot like America. God has blessed this. It's an incredible nation. But we have forgotten the Lord our God. We have forgotten the roots that we came from. Not that we have forgotten over time, but I believe some of us have chosen to forget. Chosen to forget God and who He is and why we are where we are. I don't remember the man who wrote it, but the song, "This Land Is My Land, This Land Is Your Land," he wrote that because he was an atheist. He wrote that because he didn't want to acknowledge God. He wrote that so they could sing something else other than you know, God gave us this land. My country, 'tis of thee. You know, and giving God the praise for our country. I think back in places like Rome, the power that they were, but they disintegrated. They're nothing now. Nebuchadnezzar, he built this great empire, and then he said, "Look at this, what I have done." And God right then took his mind from him, and caused him to wander for 7 years and eat grass as an ox. God humbled him. I remember back in September 11th. I remember the day it happened. And I remember how the churches were filled the next day. The next day was a Wednesday. I remember how the churches were filled that night, and filled the next Sunday, and filled for a while. But then, gradually, people forgot. What has the Lord done for you? Yet we forget. Yet I forget. God has provided. There were times in college that my school bill, I couldn't pay it. And I would get on my knees and say, "Lord, you're going to have to provide. You brought me here. You're going to have to provide for me." And then I check my email the next day, and somebody had put $2,000, $1,000, or $500 on my school bill. From I don't know where. The Lord provides. So Moses' proclamation, he says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God." But secondly, Israel's pride. If you would turn to Psalm 106, Psalm 106. Psalm 106 starts out, "Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Verse 7, I'm not exactly sure who wrote this psalm. But verse 7 says, "Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea." Verse 8, "Nevertheless he saved them for his namesake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the land of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise." Israel, once they saw God do it, then they praised his name. Verse 13, "But they soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request and sent leanness into their soul." I believe this is where he's talking about the Lord had sent them manna. And it was good, it was sweet to them for a while, the food of angels. But after a while, they tired of it. They said, "Manna again, this is the fifth day in a row. I want something else. I'm not satisfied with this anymore." And so they cried and they murmured and said, "We want meat." I can understand. You know, I love meat. They said, "We want meat." And the Lord sent them. He sent them quail. So many quail that they were stuffed. That they didn't know what to do with all of it. So much so that it made them sick. The Bible says, God gave them a request, but sent leanness unto their soul. I look at my life. How many times do I not even stop to ask God, but just say, "I want this. Man, I wish I could have this. I want this. I want it." And God gives it to me, but then sends leanness into my soul. And that's not satisfactory anymore. They lusted after evil things. Israel's pride. They lusted after evil things. They soon forget his works. Verse 16 says, "They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron in the saying of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan, and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company, a flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb, and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass." They forget God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. "Wondrous works in the lands of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy him. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness." Again and again, God provided for them and brought them through a time that they could not bring themselves out of. If he had left them at the Red Sea, they would have been slaughtered. But he brought them through it. Had he not given them water, they would all have died of thirst. Had he not given them food, they would have died of hunger. But he provided for them again and again. Yet they forgot. They turned his back on him. They murmured. How many times am I discontent because of what the Lord gives me? Am I discontent because that's not what I want? I remember growing up and at Christmas time, I would, you know, some things I would get that were things that I wanted. But at the end of the day, there were some things that I didn't get. And I wouldn't tell my parents, and I would try not to make it known because I didn't want to hurt their feelings. But there was all that little feeling inside me that said, man, I didn't get what I wanted. I wish maybe, you know, a little feeling of disappointment. Well, maybe they didn't give it to us because that's not what we needed. God gives us things because that's what we need. And if we don't need it at that time and he gives it to us, we soon find out that we didn't need it at that point because leanness was sent into our soul. So they committed idolatry, the golden calf. Exodus 32 talks about how they brought Aaron. Moses was gone up into the mount to receive the Ten Commandments. And they said, "Forget Moses. Aaron, why don't you be our leader? Why don't you be our priest and do something for us?" He says, "Okay, bring me all your gold." And they make this golden image. And they bow down to it. And I always laughed. I always thought it was really ironic because Moses came back down, and how did he punish the people? They ground up that golden calf and put it in water and made them drink it. You know, man, what a bitter thing that must have been. And when I go into my own, when I go in my own strength, wanting the things that I want, it turns to a bitter taste in my mouth. It's not sweet anymore. You know, the grass is always greener on the other side until you get over there. And then it's not good. And in closing, if you would turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. They lusted after evil things. They committed idolatry with the golden calf. They committed fornication by joining themselves with the pagans of the land, with the pagans of Canaan. Numbers 25 gives the account. They gave their daughters to the sons of Canaan, and let their sons marry their daughters. They tempted Christ. In Exodus 17:7, they were crying and they said, "Is not the Lord among us?" You know, how I wish we could go back to Egypt where we had the onions and the leeks and the garlic, stuff that makes your breath taste bad, melons. How I wish we could go back there. You know, they remembered the onions and the melons, but they forgot the whips. They forgot the things that they hated about that land. They were free now. God had given it, but they weren't happy with it. So Israel's pride, they murmured. Numbers 14, verse 2 says, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we died in this wilderness." Lastly, our example. Our example. You know, each time history repeats itself, somebody once said the price goes up. Every time history repeats itself, the price goes up. And you can see that in the history of Israel. Finally, God got tired of it. And he disbanded all of them. You know, their kingdoms were split apart, and they were taken captive by Babylon, and then by another country, over and over again. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did drink all the drink, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." They lusted. "Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." Verse 11 says, "Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world are come. The ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." Our example. In this passage, Paul says that these things were done for our example. They were done that we might learn from them, that we should not make the same mistakes. But how long will it take us to learn before we stop? How many times will it take us to fall before we learn that we should not be doing these things? How long will it take us to learn from Israel? Verse 11, it says the same thing. They were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. You know, what things do we worship? What takes the place of God in our life sometimes? You know, how about baseball? Baseball is probably my favorite sport. I like the Yankees, yes. But, you know, baseball. How about sport, you know, any other sport or money? Matthew 6:24 says, "Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Growing up, I used to think mammon, that was a strange word for money. But it doesn't just mean money, but all material things. You know, what's taking the place first in our life before God? What has caused us to forget the Lord and the good things the great things He has done for us? Verse 12 gives us the warning: if we think we stand, we better watch out. And how often it's very easy. Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing great. I was thinking, man, I'm going to be a senior in college. I'm going to graduate. You know, hopefully next week, I'll you know, Lord willing, I'll be engaged. I'm doing great. My school bills paid off. I have a job. It's going wonderful. I am doing wonderful. Well, take heed. You better watch out in case you fall, because that's not me. Everything that happened to me, I guarantee you the Lord worked in Laura's heart. You can all testify to that. The Lord worked in Laura's heart to be my girlfriend, okay? Any of you that know me, you know, Daniel spent a year befriending me. He can attest to that. Everything that's happened in my life is not done because of me. It's because of what God has done, how He has blessed me. Not that I deserve it. You don't have to flip back. But Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 5. Verse 4 says, "Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out before thee." Talking about the people of the land. He says, "Speak not thou in thine heart, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out before thee. Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord thy God doth drive them out. That he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness. For thou art a stiff-necked people." Pastor Fox was talking about that a little bit in Sunday school. Israel was called a stiff-necked people. He says, remember and forget not. He goes on to talk about the different things how they had sinned against the Lord. He said, it's not because of your righteousness. It's not because of the good things you have done. Because you are a stiff-necked people. It's because God is true to His Word. It's because God is faithful that He is doing these things. It's not because of me. It's not because of you. And then we are to flee from idolatry. We are to continue fleeing. Dwight D. Eisenhower said, "Neither a wise man nor a brave man lies down on the tracks of history to wait for the train of the future to run over him." We are to learn from history, because history unlearned repeats itself. And I don't like it when God chastens me. But how many times is He going to have to chasten me before I learn to put Him in the right spot? How long is it going to take me before I realize I can't forget my Lord? Verse 13 gives us hope. "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. The Lord will never put us in any position that we cannot handle through Him. If we turn to Him, if we submit ourselves to Him, He will bring us through it." Verse 14, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." All these things that Israel they lusted, they were idolaters, they committed fornication, they tempted Christ, they murmured. It was all because they were idolaters. All that can fall under idolatry. They were raising something else before God. Flee from idolatry. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, flee from idolatry. What has caused you to forget the Lord? With your heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe there's somebody today that would say, I haven't forgotten the Lord, but that's because I've never known Him. I've never known the Lord. If that's you, I would strongly encourage you, come to the Lord today. Trust Him as your Savior. How about you, Christian? Have you forgotten the Lord in your business, in the busyness of your schedule? Have we gotten too busy for God? What idols are there in our lives that draw us away from God? If the Lord has spoken to your heart, why don't you come and give them to the Lord? Beware that thou forget the Lord thy God. As the ladies play, beware that thou forget the Lord thy God. If He's spoken to your heart, why don't you come?